It's time for Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio, talking everything tourism and exploring all that the Golden Heart City has to offer for visitors and residents alike. Brought to you by Explore Fairbanks, located in the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center in downtown Fairbanks. And now, here's the crew from Explore Fairbanks.
And good afternoon, KFAR listeners. Welcome to another episode of the Explore Fairbanks radio show. Scott McRae from Explore Fairbanks here in the studio, and once again with my co-host and colleague over at Explore Fairbanks, Mr. Bill Wright. Hello, Bill.
That's right, Scott. Hello, Scott. It's another beautiful day in Fairbanks, and we're so happy to share our Saturday with our lovely residents here in Fairbanks.
Absolutely. And so, you know, Bill, one of the attributes, the draws that brings people to Fairbanks, that brings people to Alaska, of course, it's the great outdoors. That's the allure there, the last frontier. And of course, our national parks that we have here in Alaska play a big role in that. So we are very happy. We have in the studio with us an expert on the national parks and all things pertaining to the outdoors in Alaska, the lead park ranger from the Alaska Public Lands Information Center, Adia Cotter. Adia, welcome to the studio.
Hi, thank you for having me today.
You bet. So, Adia, before we get into the heart of what the Public Lands Information Center is, let's do the Adia 101. So tell our listeners today about your story here in Alaska, how long you've been here, and what led you to the position that you have now.
Okay, sure. Well, I came to Fairbanks in 1998 to go to University of Alaska Fairbanks. I studied natural resources management, and while I was there, I came upon a seasonal position with the National Park Service, and I never left. I liked it so much that I just kept reapplying and got a permanent position, and here I am 20-some-odd years later, still here.
Now, growing up as a child, was this something like being a park ranger? Was that something you saw, something you'd love to do? Because when I think of park rangers, I think of my first experience as a child, and that was through Yogi Bear.
Hey, there we go.
Yeah, you have the park rangers making sure the bears don't take the picnic baskets or whatever they do. So was this something as a young idea that you thought of doing?
No. You know, young idea had no idea what national parks were. I didn't visit my first national park until I was well into my 20s, I think. When I was a kid, I loved being outside and I loved exploring and I loved nature. But no, I had no intention of being a park ranger, consciously, I guess.
Well, perhaps present day Adia will inspire some young Adia right now as we're talking. To do this in the future.
Yeah, that would be great.
Absolutely. And we'll talk a bit, because that's a big part of what the Public Lands Information Center does, is youth outreach, educational outreach. So we'll be talking about that. So, well, let's start. Let's talk about the Alaska Public Lands Information Center. For those listeners not familiar with the organization, what is it that you guys do?
Well, we are a national park visitor center, which is very unexpected for people who walk through the door. We were created by ANILCA, the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, to provide information about the public land in Alaska, because there are many different agencies that administer it. There are many different recreational opportunities. There are very many different places to go. And so our job is to help sort that all out for people and help them figure out where to go, how to do it, how to be safe, and how to stay legal.
Gotcha. And it's the services you provide, it's for visitors, but it's also for, you know, residents alike. So maybe explain to some of the different services that you have available. I'm always fascinated when I come down the maps and just the information in general. It's a great resource for anyone who wants to explore the outdoors.
Yeah, absolutely. We help people plan trips, but we also help connect people with other recreational opportunities. We have maps, we have videos, we have lots of good advice about where to go fishing and camping and berry picking. But we also, you know, have a good, strong community connection and can provide a space to do community programs about all of those things as well. Lots of field trips, lots of schools come in. We teach kids and do outreach with the schools as well. So there's a full suite of services that we provide. Locals, you know, they use us as a resource for maps, for asking questions about different places around Fairbanks to go do things.
That's great. Yeah, like we, you know, we talked about, I think that educational component's a big part too. You know, educating the youth of today on this amazing state they live in and all that it has to offer, and perhaps, like we said, future park rangers down the road. So when we talk about the national parks in Alaska, there's a good number of them, and it encompasses a lot of area within the state. So let's talk about the geographic scope of national parks within the last frontier.
Yeah, if you were to count the national park sites that are administered by the National Park Service, you'd come up with 16 different sites. Within the national park system, there are different designations, and park is probably the one that people are most familiar with. But within that agency, we've got preserves, we've got national historic sites, we've got monuments. So in Alaska, there are 16 of those sites within the state. There are 8 national park designations.
And I think we're, you know, within the U.S., we're second there, with, I think, California leading us by just one.
By one.
Yep. By 9. Okay.
Yep.
So let's talk about the park that I think most people in Fairbanks and interior Alaska are familiar with. And that, of course, is Denali National Park. Big part for us to explore Fairbanks of how we market the region, of Fairbanks being the base camp to Denali. So maybe there's newcomers to Fairbanks, haven't made the trip to Denali yet. So what does Denali have to offer?
Well, Denali National Park is our closest national park neighbor. It's about a 2.5-hour drive down the park's highway. And depending on the season, you can do a variety of things there. There are lots of hiking opportunities, lots of wildlife watching opportunities. They have great park rangers there that do programs and teach people about the natural and cultural resources. The only working dog sled kennel in the national park system is in Denali National Park. And so you can go and learn about the patrols that are done over the winter by those dogs and get to pet them. And in the summertime, you can watch a demonstration of how they hook them up and run them on a sled.
And I think, and you made a good point there, a lot of people think of Denali as just being a summertime only. Obviously, limited opportunities in the winter, but we like to say Denali is open in the wintertime.
Yeah, the park is not closed. The road into the park, access to that road, is limited, but you can still drive in 3 miles. You're more than welcome to ski or walk or find your own way further down the road in the winter. In fact, they do make a nice ski trail that goes further into the park. So if you were wanting to ski or snowshoe, you could do that. The Murie Science and Learning Center is open during
great
the winter.
Place. Yeah.
Yeah, they have an outdoor porch that people can use to, a picnic porch that they can use to, you know, rest, get out of the cold. They can use the restrooms. The park stamp is there. That's a major draw for a lot of people, getting their national park passport stamp. You can get that there. And they have park rangers that are, they're happy to help you plan some kind of winter adventure in their park.
Absolutely. It's beautiful down there in the wintertime.
Yeah,
I think I love going down there in the winter just as much as the summertime. It's so, just like here in Fairbanks, it's dramatically different.
It is.
You know, between the two seasons.
It can be very magical too, you know, with the muted light and, you know, sometimes you see animals that you don't see in the summertime because there's not a lot of activity going on. So winter is actually a pretty nice time to be there.
It is. And we talk about, you know, the road going into the park, and you know, there's a lot of conversation as of late in regards to the Pretty Rocks landslide, the road not being open all the way into the park. But we like to tell people, even so, you can still see within the limit that it is open, that they do have the shuttles. You're still going to see the same type of critters that you'll
Absolutely.
See going all the way in.
Yeah, you don't miss out on wildlife just by traveling a short portion of the road. You may not get views that you see in magazines, but you certainly are getting all the things that you would normally see during a normal visit.
To include, hopefully, a view of the mountain itself.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You can still see that. Looks a little different, but it's still there.
It does. Yeah. That's, you know, people ask, you know, oh, you lived in Fairbanks, Alaska so long. There's certain things you must be tired of. And they'll say, you must get tired of seeing Denali. It's like, no. Anytime you see the mountain when it's out and the conditions are right, it's just as amazing as the first time.
It is. It's pretty cool to be driving down the Steese Highway from a high point there, and all of a sudden on the horizon is this giant, beautiful mountain.
Absolutely. We're lucky to have that as our neighbor.
We are.
Yeah, so to speak. And then, of course, you mentioned, you know, with the park road situation, but just around Denali itself, there's just so much to explore you know, around the area, you know, the hiking and so forth. There's so much to see and do. And then the summertime, of course, all the different activities that are offered there, from the river rafting. It's just it's a wilderness mecca.
It is.
That we have
it
down
is.
There.
Yeah. And the park, you know, the park is not far from other public lands and other recreational opportunities. So it's a great day trip or a place that you could spend a few days just exploring.
Yep, absolutely. Easy 2-hour drive down the down the park's highway. So we have, there's Denali National Park, and just kind of differentiate, there's also Denali State Park.
State Park.
As well.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a nice trail system there. There's a beautiful lake. And public use cabins, so another great public land to explore.
Absolutely, yeah. It's like I said, it's amazing we have that in our backyard. So that's not the only national park. So we're gonna talk about some of the other ones to include after the break. Here we'll head up north a little bit. We'll talk about the Gates of the Arctic, and then a little down south to the biggest national park in Alaska, the Wrangell St. Elias Park. So take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk more.
Okay.
All right.
We will continue to explore Fairbanks right after this short message from our sponsors.
More than 30 years ago, Northern Alaska Tour Company pioneered Arctic Circle Touring along Alaska's Dalton Highway. Today, they take pride in being the operator of choice for those traveling in Alaska's majestic Arctic. They operate one-day and multi-day tours by land, air, or land and air. Most departing from Fairbanks, the gateway to Alaska's Arctic and Denali National Park. Experience Alaska's Arctic for yourself. For more information, go online to northernalaska.com.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30. Brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company. Followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. And then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m. And Explore Fairbanks at 1:30. All 3 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Now back to Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio.
And welcome back to the program. And big thanks, Northern Alaska Tour Company. They're the sponsor of this month's show. And last week we had Kathy Hedges with Northern Alaska Tour Company in here talking about all things in Arctic, which is a great opportunity to talk about the national park that is located up in Alaska's Arctic, and that is the beautiful Gates of the Arctic National Park. So let's talk a little bit about that one.
Sure. Gates of the Arctic is a vast place. One of the coolest things that I think is great about that park is it's one of the parks where people have lived on the landscape for, you know, millennia, and still live and still use the landscape for all of their subsistence needs. It's a remote wilderness that people can go and enjoy solitude, lots of recreational opportunities, and it's giant. It is 8 million acres, which...
Wow.
Yeah, I was trying to find a comparison, and the closest I could get is that it's almost as big as all of the Hawaiian Islands combined.
Okay. That helps put it in context there. And I love, you know, the point that you made there, that these the national parks that we have here in the state, you know, there were people who explored those parks long before people like the three of us and our ancestors there. So there's the first people of the land that called these parks home for hundreds of years.
Yeah, that park in particular, you know, there's a community, the Anaktuvuk Pass,
right,
in the park, and it's one that you can visit. There's a commercial flight there almost every day, and it's one of the ways that people can get into that park.
Absolutely. So, well, let's go south a little bit, and let's visit the Wrangell-St. Elias National Park, which the biggest one in the country. Is that correct?
It is. Yeah. It's the biggest one in the system.
Okay. And if my Google search was correct, it is. You could fit all of Yosemite and Yellowstone inside it, plus throw in the states of Vermont and New Hampshire. We love describing things in Alaska. It's how many other states can we put into a specific area? So that's a beautiful area down there.
Yeah, Wrangell-St. Elias National Park, it's about 13 million acres, so it's even bigger than Gates of the Arctic and Denali, almost combined. You can access it from the Richardson Highway, and that park is really cool because there are really interesting historical aspects to it. There was an active copper mine in the heart of the park at one time. And there's a road that goes into the town of McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
You walk across a bridge to get to McCarthy from the end of the road. And then you can go to Kennecott, where the mine was, and explore some of those old buildings. The Park Service has put exhibits into some of those buildings to kind of interpret the history. And while you're there, you're in the wilderness and you're experiencing history and you're looking out over a glacier. I mean, it's a pretty darn unique and very cool place.
That's on my, you know, I have to say, lifelong Alaskan, 37 years here in Fairbanks. I have not made that trip yet.
I have not either.
You haven't either?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I graduated downstream of there in Cordova.
Oh,
on
yeah.
The Copper Delta.
But, yeah. I lived around the Yakutat region, too, as a kid,
yes.
So same type of boundaries there. But it's just, it's an amazing part of the state.
It is. Tall mountains, rugged terrain, wilderness, variety of wildlife. I mean, it's got it all.
I think that's within the national parks in Alaska, how dramatically different each one is in terms of geography and everything else. So, like, we're talking about Kenai Fjords National Park. That's another amazing one.
For sure. You know, you go to Seward, you can see the Exit Glacier, which if you were there 20 years ago, looks a little different than
a little different.
It does today. You can get on a boat and go out into the fjords, which is awesome. You can see marine wildlife. That also is a very cool park.
So out of the national parks in Alaska, how many of them have you been to?
Oh.
And do you have a favorite? Are you not allowed to say a favorite?
No.
You have to be represent them all equally. Okay.
I'm definitely allowed to have a favorite.
Yeah, at least make it in Alaska.
Yes. Let's say, it is the ones
in
within
Alaska. Sure.
Yeah.
Let's see. How many have I visited? There are eight, and I think I've been to, that depends on your definition of visited, because a lot of our visitor centers for these parks are not technically within the boundary of the park. So if we're being very traditional, I guess, being inside the borders, I think I've been to half of them, and maybe I've been to five. But my favorite is Katmai National Park.
Oh, yes.
Awesome, amazing experience. I mean, bears are cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
But really, really interesting human history, being up close and personal with our greatest predator is just an experience I can't even describe. The vegetation, super interesting. You know, living in Fairbanks and being in a boreal forest, it's a very different landscape. And the remoteness of it. I mean, you have to take an Alaska Air flight to King Salmon and then take a float plane. And then if you want to go even further, you have to get in another plane. So I would say that is by far my favorite park so far.
Understandably so. And that's where you got to watch off your picnic basket.
Yeah,
that's
for sure.
So, Adia, about a few weeks ago, we had Charity Yadabi in here, the studio. She's our director of visitor services and partnership development at the Morris Thompson mm-hmm. Center, which we share space with. We're partners there. And talking about the different questions that visitors ask when they come here, You guys get a lot of questions during the day from visitors as well. What are some of the more common, I guess, what are some of the more unusual ones that you get? Because we get kind of unusual ones all the time because people have these misperceptions or stereotypes about life in Alaska. So any that come to mind?
Well, you know, I would say we do get unusual questions sometimes based off of people's perceptions watching those, you know, reality TV shows. But, you know, some of my favorite questions are just the kind of off the wall, weird situations. For example, one time, I think it was last summer, someone called and said, what does Baneberry look like? And I said, well, it's, you know, this kind of plant and it has this kind of berry. And she's like, oh, well, I think I ate some and now I'm not feeling so well. And I said, well, you might want to call 911 instead of calling me.
Dear.
I don't think she ate Baneberry, but you know, it made me wonder, like, why would someone call to identify the berry instead of like calling for help if they didn't feel well? So that's, you know, that's an example of some of the like weird questions we
right.
get. Someone called one time and asked if they could bury a body on their property.
Oh my!
I think they just meant, you know, is it, I have property and
sure.
I want to, you know, bury my loved one here. But yeah, those are kind of some of the unusual off the wall questions that we'll get sometimes.
That fits the description
yeah.
of a bit off the wall there. So I was looking at the Public Lands Information Center, the website today, and they do have an FAQ section.
We do.
Yep. And there were four questions there. So I'm going to put you on the
okay.
spot.
All right.
And see if you know the answers to these questions here. So question one, can I buy land in Alaska?
Well, you can. You can buy it from a realtor, or there are different sale programs through the state or the university. Lots of people ask about homesteading. You cannot homestead in Alaska, but yes, you can buy land.
Can you bury a body on that land?
I'm not sure.
Okay. That I was surprised to see this one, but maybe not. And that is, how close is Alaska to Russia?
Yeah, we get that question
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually only about 2.5 miles between the Diomede Islands off the western coast of Alaska. Not sure if you went around, you know, the whole ocean, how far that would be. But if we were just counting those two islands, one belongs to Alaska, one belongs to Russia, it's only about 2.5 miles.
Okay. And within line of sight. So you can
yeah,
see
you can.
Russia from
you
Alaska.
Can.
Okay. We'll put that issue to bed. this one was interesting and probably not so applicable right now, but what are the current fire conditions in Alaska?
Well, you know, there is one fire that does not go out.
Really?
In Yukon Charley Rivers Preserve. I think there's a coal seam or something that's been burning for, I don't know, like maybe 10 years. And so technically that is a fire that burns year round. But other than that, I think our fire season is pretty much over at this point.
I think so. Yeah. Okay. And then I think kind of touched upon this one here. I guess this gets asked quite a bit. And are there poisonous plants in Alaska?
There are. And around Fairbanks, there are a couple that you'll want to stay away from. Monkshood and Baneberry are two of them. And if you go kind of closer to the Anchorage area, Devil's Club and Cow Parsnip are two that are fairly recognizable, and those are both poisonous as well.
Okay.
Good. Devil's Club is not only poisonous, it's vicious.
Yes,
it is. Yes, they are.
Hence
yeah, well,
the
living
name.
Down in Southeast Alaska, they were, all over the place there. So let's kind of go back a little bit and kind of talking about the services that the Public Lands Information Center provides, specifically as it relates to what's offered within the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitors Center. So it's not just, like you said, it's the maps and the information. There's films. Now, do you guys have films you show during the day? What are some of those that are available?
We have a daily film schedule. We try to pick films that are varying lengths and topics so that they're not all the same. Right now, there's one about Gates of the Arctic National Park and Denali National Park. There's one about gold mining history in Yukon Charley Rivers National Preserve. And the other one is about the aurora.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There's the guarantee for people to see the Northern
yeah.
Lights is come in
yeah.
and see that.
If
yeah.
it doesn't clear up for you, you can just come watch the film.
Right. That's right there. And then, of course, the exhibits. And we talked about this at one point in the program, but, you know, APLIC plays a big role in the exhibits that are there within the facility, too. So kind of walk through the people haven't been to the Morris Thompson Center, which is a big message that we like to relay on this show, is this is for you as much as it is the visitors. So on the exhibit side, kind of walk us through that a bit.
Well, you know, when the exhibits were designed, the intent was to represent what it actually looks like, the land and the people and the seasons of interior Alaska. And so as you walk into summer, you'll see the Tanana River and a wildfire, which is very common in the summer.
Yep. You'll that's walk... not the coal fire?
The no, that's not the coal run. Fire. No, this one was caused by lightning. And you'll walk through a smokehouse that you see often along these rivers that people use for transportation and subsistence. Mm-hmm. When you walk into the autumn, you see a camp. Very common during hunting season to see someone's hunting camp. Wintertime, we have a little cabin that is a direct spec of a Bureau of Land Management public use cabin that was done on purpose. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you walk in and you look out the window and you see the aurora and you see a moose poking out from the corner.
Also guaranteed aurora, too.
Also there. Guaranteed
yeah,
aurora.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, when it's working.
Guaranteed moose sighting.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the rest of the information really is about the people and the culture of interior Alaska. There's a lot of great information in there about the types of industries and jobs that support our lifestyle and the people that make up the community that we live in and some of the history and struggles that we've gone through to be this great community that we are.
Yeah, it is. It's just a great representation of year-round life, you know, in Fairbanks and touching upon everything from the economy to the natural history, native culture. It's a great, and it's free of charge.
And it's free.
It's free. There we go. Adia, one of the programs that Explore Fairbanks, we partner with you guys on, is every Friday we do an orientation tour for new soldiers and their families at Fort Wainwright. We've been doing it about 3 years now. It's within the first week that they've been to Fairbanks. So the idea behind it is to say, this is your new home in Fairbanks. This is what we have to offer. And time again, there's such a huge interest, you know, with our soldiers about the national parks, the great outdoors. And you guys provide the national parks as a special service for our military personnel. Tell us what that is.
We do. There is something called the America the Beautiful Pass. And if you are active duty military or retired military, you are eligible for a free pass that gives you free entrance to any public land that charges a fee. And so every Friday, those soldiers come and we tell them about all the great things they can do. And then if they would like, we will issue them a pass and they can go visit all of their public lands.
And I'm always amazed how many of them, when you're doing the welcome there and you mentioned this, a lot of them have heard of it. Some of them have had it.
Yep.
So I think that's a part, that service there. Clearly, that's something that they want to do while they're here in Alaska. So in terms of making them feel like this is their new home, having that opportunity to explore the outdoors is an important part of that.
Yeah. You know, living in Fairbanks, you have to get out. You have to explore. It's what you got to do to survive. And hopefully this pass gives them just a little more motivation and another tool for them to use while they're here.
Absolutely. I think like there's in the exhibits, there's something that says we in the wintertime, we celebrate, we don't hibernate.
Yes, correct.
It's tough sometimes, but you're right. It is, though. I mean, it's, you know, exploring the outdoors doesn't have to be a summertime only. You know, for anyone listening, it's just, it's amazing what we have to offer here right in our backyard. And very fortunate to have the expertise of our Public Lands Information Center to help guide them. So website, more information if people want to learn more.
Well, we do have a website.
Probably better just come and see you guys in person.
Yeah, in person's best because we can give you all the best advice.
Yeah, and that's at the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center. You guys are there 6 days a week.
Yep. In the wintertime, yeah.
In the wintertime, yeah. That. So, yeah, you and your amazing team, they're ready to answer any and all questions pertaining to Alaska's great outdoors.
We are ready and waiting for you.
And if you don't know it, you can Google it. Adia, thanks so much for being here.
You're welcome.
That concludes another episode of the Explore Fairbanks Radio Show. We will see you next Saturday.
You have been listening to Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past shows, simply log on to our website and click on the archives page. Explore Fairbanks has been a production of Last Frontier Media Active.